Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Waiting. I want to talk to you this morning for a couple minutes about waiting. Waiting often brings out the worst in people. Have you ever noticed that? Waiting brings out the worst in people. If you've ever sat in the waiting room at the doctor's office, and I've had the opportunity to do that quite a bit over the past couple of months, that is some interesting people watching. You all know what I'm talking about this morning. You should be really careful. I want to offer you a warning this morning. You should be really careful about how you behave when you're waiting in the doctor's office, because you never know when a preacher is in the room and you could suddenly become the prime example of the sermon the next Sunday morning. So you have to be very, very, very careful about that. Waiting brings out the worst in people a lot of times. There is something about waiting that just brings out the worstness. People get cranky. People get cranky when they have to wait. They get cranky when they have to wait for that self-checkout line to open up at Walmart because people are struggling to get those bags open or to check their items all by themselves. You've been there. You know what it's like. People get really cranky when they're waiting in that line at McDonald's that doesn't seem to be going anywhere during the lunch hour. They're hungry and they get cranky. And if that doesn't make the point, just try to drive into Dayton. Or try to drive into Columbus or Cincinnati during rush hour. Waiting makes people cranky. Waiting makes people grumble, doesn't it? Waiting makes people sometimes lash out in anger. Waiting sometimes makes people make poor choices in their lives. There's something about waiting that can make things get ugly in our lives. We saw last... I'll be really honest with you. I began preaching or writing this sermon the week going into Pentecost, and I finished writing it this last week. But you'll remember the last spring before my back went out and had surgery, we were exploring the parallels that existed in between that time of deliverance and that time of arrival for the nation of Israel. Do you remember that? If you remember that, raise your hand so I can tell you remember that. Some of you remember that. Some of you remember that. The Israelites. Remember, we were talking about how the Israelites had been delivered from the bonds of Egyptian slavery, but they were destined to wander in the desert for 40 years. They were destined to wander in the desert for 40 years because they were not great at waiting. They were filled with what? They were filled with impatience, and their impatience led to grumbling. When they were hungry, their impatience, their not good at waiting kind of habits led them to idol worship when they thought Moses was taking too long up there on the mountain with God. Their impatience, their lack of being able to wait, revealed who they really were. And it eventually led to God deeming them unworthy to enter into the promised land. Because you see, what we do while we wait, what we do while we wait often defines who we are when we arrive. Anybody out there have wrinkles? We develop wrinkles in our lives over the course of time. Our wrinkles develop in our faces over the course of our lives, and a lot of the times they reveal our overall demeanor. Many of us develop laugh lines on our faces. We have laugh lines around our mouths, around our eyes, because we laugh so much. We're in the habit of laughing and we have joy in our lives. And so we develop laugh wrinkles around our eyes. If you look real closely at my face this morning, I've actually developed a stress wrinkle. I have a stress wrinkle right on my forehead, right above my left eye. Most people have creases in their forehead, like I do, but I have one that goes up and down my left eye that has been created by stress and has been created by intensity over time. One guy that I work with, he has a permanent frown that has been kind of etched into his face. He has a permanent frown wrinkle etched into his countenance. He is not a mean person. As a matter of fact, he's actually a really great guy, but he's thoughtful. And I would describe him as a thoughtful and pensive person. He's always got a very thoughtful look on his face. And that thoughtful, pensive look has been etched into his countenance. And he looks like he has a permanent frown etched into his face. It disappears when he smiles, but that's the default position of his face. And so he's developed wrinkles that have been formed and etched into his face over time. Wrinkles have this tendency to form on our faces, on our hands, over time, based on how our muscles and our skins react to our environment. They are etched out while we wait. You see what I'm saying here? Those wrinkles don't just wake up one morning and have wrinkles. They're etched out over time while we wait or while we wade through the experiences of life. The Apostle Paul, he has several things, I think, that he wants to teach us about what to do while we're waiting as followers of Jesus for eternity, while we're waiting for Jesus to return. Anybody out there this morning looking forward to when Jesus comes back? Anybody there this morning? Are you still awake? I can see you snoring. I can't hear you snoring, but I might be able to see you snoring. Anybody waiting for Jesus to come back? Well, in his letter to Titus, which is in the back of your New Testament, if you want to turn to Titus chapter 2 this morning, Titus is a very brief letter in the back of your Bible. It's a very brief letter from Paul to Titus. And Paul is writing to Titus, who is one of his young men that he has assigned to be the person to establish the church on the island of Crete in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. On many of his missionary journeys, Paul had stopped over at Crete and he had established a church. And Titus is basically the district superintendent. if you think about the way we're structured in the Church of the Nazarene, Titus is the bishop or the district superintendent over the church in Crete. He's a young man. And this whole letter, three chapters, very brief, he's writing to Titus, giving this young man advice on how to establish the church. And as he describes to him how to establish this church on the island of Crete, he gives descriptions of a lot of different people, especially in Titus chapter 2. And I think it sounds a lot like who we are at Maplewood. But if you turn to Titus chapter 2, in verse 2, there's some stuff for the older men. In verse 3, there's some stuff for the older women. In verse 4, for the younger women. In verse 6, there's some things for the young men. And in verse 9, there are things for slaves or employees, I think, as we would think about it today. But I want to focus this morning on Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, okay? Let's look at this real quick. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. In verse 12, it says, this grace of God, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. I want to focus on just two phrases over the next couple of moments with you. Just going to take a couple of moments on this morning because I know you're ready to go home and get lunch. But two phrases in verse 13 of Titus chapter 2. First phrase, while we wait. While we wait. Maplewood, we are being shaped and formed while we wait. Most of the time, I think we have in our minds this assumption that it's the arrival at the destination that is going to be the formative moment in our lives. When I finally achieve that big job, or when I finally am able to purchase that car or that house or name your accomplishment, that's the moment when I'll be transformed. That's the moment when I will have arrived. But I want us to see this morning that in reality, we're actually shaped and formed for those moments while we're waiting, while we wait. Who you will be in eternity as spirit and soul and personality is largely being shaped and formed now while we wait. Hell, for some people, is going to have to be, it will be defined by having to live with themselves forever without God, away from God, full of the would've, could've, should've regrets that we accumulate in life, full of a sourpuss, sprinkly face attitude with no ability to have joy, full of self-condemnation, forever etched into the soul like wrinkles on the face. But Jesus, I want us to see this morning that Jesus has so much more for us. And I think that Jesus wants you and I to realize that the people we are becoming while we wait, as we're living out the here and now, is critically important from an eternal perspective. We're being shaped, Maplewood, by the wait. We're being formed by this time that we're spending in the waiting room, waiting for the doctor. I'm a big fan of history. You all know that. I'm a huge fan of history. And I've learned as I've read a lot about history, and specifically the Civil War, World War I, World War II, or any war, massive battles don't happen every day. There are not significant battles that happen every day during a prolonged conflict. Those battles, those conflicts, those major moments in time, they happen in spurts. And it's the in-between time, in between the significant battles, in between the significant conflicts or moments in time during those massive moments of war that are in our history. Those moments in between are the more important moments of those conflicts. In between the battles, and I know Chuck Ryder might be there this morning. We have a couple of veterans in there. Lee is a veteran of the Air Force. And I know that it's the in-between time. When you're in the military, I haven't been personally, but a lot of what I've read and what I've heard, there's a lot of boring times of waiting in the military. There's a lot of downtime. There's just a lot of Dullsville types of moments. And it's in between the battles. It's in the wait, in between the conflict or the engagement. That there's, it's not like there's not anything happening. If you're a soldier, that there's a lot of stuff that happens during the wait. If you're a soldier, there's training to keep in shape physically. There's training to learn new equipment, to learn new skills that happens during this time of waiting in between the engagements. There's training to fight the next fight so that when that next moment of truth comes, the soldier or the sailor is ready to meet the moment. It's the wait before the battle that defines our ability to meet the moment, Maplewood. I want us to see that this morning. Soldiers don't show up. Sailors don't just show up. They are trained over time. Basic training is not a one-day thing. And so there's a reason why basic training takes months when young men and women enter into the military. Because the soldier just doesn't show up and is automatically a soldier. They need to be trained. They are shaped and molded and disciplined during those down times, during those quiet times, waiting for the next mission, waiting for the next assignment. And just like soldiers, we too, as followers of Jesus, I want you to see this. I want you to understand this. We too are being shaped while we wait. We too are being shaped and molded while we wait, whether we realize it or not. You're like, oh, that's not happening to me, Pastor. And I'm here to tell you this morning that, yes, you are being shaped and molded while you wait, whether you realize it or not. And my question for you this morning, Maplewood, my question for all of us is, who are we becoming while we wait? Who are you becoming while you are waiting for Jesus to return? What have you become over the years that you've experienced in life so far? Are we being transformed into people who are Christ-like? Or have we allowed ourselves to become something else? Have we allowed ourselves to become maybe something we never intended to become a lot? I tell you what, you go out on the street and you listen to the stories of people, most homeless people that you run into, their goal was not to become homeless. Most addicts that you run into, their goal was never intended to become an addict. Most criminals that you run into who are in the criminal justice system, when you talk to them, they do not have the life aspiration of having grown up to be a criminal. It happened to them over time during the wait. What have we become? What have we allowed ourselves to become? The good news is that while we wait, while we're waiting here and now, the good news, the gospel, is that while we wait, there is still an opportunity to turn things around if things are on the wrong track. I want you to hear that this morning. There's this opportunity for redemption. There's this opportunity for us to turn things around. It is not too late for you this morning. If you're hearing this message, we can start becoming who Christ intended for us to be. We can start that journey or restart that journey right now while we wait. And the transforming power of the Holy Spirit has the ability to wipe the slate clean, begin to heal old wounds, put salve and oil on maybe some of the wrinkles that have been forming in our spiritual life, on our spiritual face, and begin to form new wrinkles that are more reflective of the Master. Aren't you thankful that this morning there's still opportunity to turn things around while we wait? So that's the first phrase I want you to focus on this morning. And the second phrase I just want to focus on before I let you go this morning is the phrase right after that in verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope. Just want to focus on those words. While we wait, what are we waiting for? We're waiting for the blessed hope. The blessed hope is what we're supposed to be waiting for. But in my mind, I start asking myself the question, what is the blessed hope? And I think it's really good. We can argue that some people might argue that the blessed hope is just the return of Jesus Christ as victorious Savior, as the conquering King. While we wait for the blessed hope of Jesus' return, yes, we are all, as followers of Jesus, waiting for him to return. We are eager for his return. All of creation is groaning for him to come back and to make all things new, to finalize the work that he started on the cross and initiated through his resurrection. And it's why we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We are anticipating the return of Jesus. But Maplewood, I want you to hear this morning. I don't think that we're expected to just sit around and wait for Jesus to come back. I don't think we're just supposed to come in and check in at church every Sunday and sit on our hands in a pew comfortably, just waiting for Jesus to return. While we wait, I believe the scripture clearly also teaches us not just to wait for Jesus to return, but it also clearly teaches us to wait for the blessed hope of the outpouring and infilling of his Holy Spirit in our lives here and now, so that we can become who he wants us to be while we're waiting for him to return. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, you can turn to it later, but I just want to give you the reference. Jesus specifically tells the disciples, and it's his very last words recorded in Luke chapter 24 and in Acts chapter 1. He says, wait. Jesus' last instructions for his disciples is wait for the gift that the Father has promised. Wait for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. While we wait for Jesus to return, Maplewood, there is work that needs to be done. There's work that God has for us to do as faith community, kingdom work that needs to be done. As a matter of fact, while we wait and while we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, we become the manifestation of Jesus to the world. We become the manifestation of the blessed hope to the world around us, to our circles of influence. We're not just saved to perform a holding action to keep the enemy back in a world that seems to be going to hell in a handbasket. We're not just saved to wait. Just keep waiting. Hold out for Jesus. There's nothing we can baloney. There are things that we can do. We are called to wait and become the blessed hope. God's kingdom ambassadors, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth while we wait. We are saved. And it says right in the following passage right here in Titus chapter 2, we are saved to be filled with the Holy Spirit who redeems us. Yes, he saves us, but he also purifies us. It said, Paul specifically says he purifies us and who transforms our spirits to make us people eager to do good, to do good. We are to wait, Maplewood. We are to receive the Holy Spirit while we're waiting for Christ to return. And then we are to go and be the manifestation of this blessed hope. There are seasons of waiting in our walk with Jesus. I've been walking through a big season of waiting myself over the past couple of months. It's been incredibly challenging. And sometimes during these seasons of waiting, these are seasons where God prepares us. These are seasons where he teaches us new things that we need to learn. These are seasons where he equips us so that we can actually go do the things that he is calling us to do. I know many of us, many of you are like me, and we get frustrated when we're not able to just go all the time. I'm going to check things off my list. But sometimes God tells us to wait. Sometimes God tells us, no, you need to stop and you need to wait until you are filled with the Spirit and prepared to go. We wait, we receive the Spirit, and then we go. And as we follow this pattern in our lives, as we wait, receive, and go, we are being shaped and formed. We are being transformed into the blessed hope, the manifestation of the blessed hope. It's not just about Jesus coming back. It's about Jesus coming in us, coming into the world through you and through I, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We wait. Sometimes he tells us to sit down. We wait, we receive, we're filled and called, we're sent out, and we go and we do what we're called to do. This is the pattern of kingdom life. I don't want us to be discouraged by this season we've been through over the summer. It's been crazy to have your leaders away and to maybe have things that we thought were going to happen sooner kind of pushed on pause or pushed out into the future. Don't be discouraged by seasons like this. Allow God to teach us and to prepare us during this waiting time, so that we're ready to go when the moment is coming, so that we can become the blessed hope that he wants us to become. Yes, waiting can bring the worst out of people. Waiting can bring the worst out of us. But for followers of Jesus, waiting has the potential to bring out the very best of each and every one of us. Waiting's not always fun, but it is in the wait. It is through the wait that we are shaped and formed. And I know many of us have been through a lot. I've been through a lot this past summer. I know a lot of you have been going through a lot over this past summer and the past couple of years. I ask you again to reflect this morning, Maplewood. How has the wait shaped you? How has the wait shaped you? Who have you become as you've been waiting for God to answer your prayers? What have you become as you've been waiting for God to move in your life? Are you satisfied or are you disappointed in who you are becoming or who you've become? Again, the good news this morning is that we believe that not only does God save us, but something that's unique about the Church of the Nazarene, and I want us to all get our heads and our hearts around this, God saves us. Amen. God saves us, but we also believe in a God who wants to radically transform us from the inside out. God saves us. Yes, he does. But God also wants to radically transform you and I from the inside out through the power of his Holy Spirit while we wait. And some of you have been holding back and allowing his Holy Spirit to actually do that transforming work in your life because you're afraid to trust him. You're afraid of what it might cost you. You're afraid of where he might call you. What are you becoming? Who are you becoming while you wait? Are you embracing the grace of God and his Holy Spirit in your life? Or are we resisting him? Because if we're resisting him, we're being shaped and formed into something. But we uniquely believe that, yes, God wants to save us, but God also wants to radically transform you through the power of his sanctifying Holy Spirit if you'll surrender everything to him. And the even better news is that while we wait, there is still time. There is still opportunity to allow Jesus to do this in our lives, individually and collectively. And I'm telling you, the reason I'm preaching this morning, and I'm going to close down here real quick. The reason I'm sharing this with you this morning, and you're going to hear more of it in the days to come, is because I passionately, with my whole heart, believe that God wants to do something special through Maplewood. I believe that there is a very bright and optimistic future where God wants to move in and through this people. But it is going to take all of us to have the courage to not only receive the saving grace of Jesus, but to submit our all to him, so that his Holy Spirit can come into us and radically transform us from the inside out. Because it's that transforming power of the Holy Spirit that is going to help us level up as a faith community. Do you believe that? Who are you becoming? It's going to take all of us getting on the same page in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a hard, challenging message this morning, but I want you to realize that whether you know it or not, you're becoming more like Christ or more or less like Christ while you wait. And it takes intentionality, and it takes a full-hearted commitment to him to allow his Holy Spirit to come in you and transform you from the inside out. It's when he does that where Maplewood's going to be set on fire, figuratively, folks. And we're going to be able to do things we never thought we were going to be able to do on our own. Who are you becoming? And more importantly, many of you know this message this morning. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Make the decision to go all the way with Jesus. Let's do it together and see something beautiful happen in our church, in our faith family, in our individual lives, in our circles of influence, and in our community. Let's pray together. Bow your heads. Everybody bow your heads this morning. I want all heads bowed today. I can see you. I can see every one of you. The Holy Spirit is in this place this morning. And if some of the words I've spoken this morning to you are resonating, and the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you this morning about who you may be becoming, nobody looking around this morning, all eyes closed. If you just want to raise your hand this morning, say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me this morning about who I have become and who I am becoming, and I want to become more like you this morning. I see hands all around the sanctuary. Let's pray together. Father, I just lift up my people to you this morning. Lord, I miss seeing them in person, but I'm so thankful for this ability to share with them this morning what's on my heart and to see them respond to you. Lord, my prayer this morning is that you'd help us to recognize and realize that while we are waiting, there's work that you want to do in and through us. And Lord, for some of us, we've been holding back and holding out on you, and we haven't realized that maybe we've become something that we don't want to be, or we're becoming someone that we don't recognize. Lord, this morning, we're thankful for the hope that you give us that there's still opportunity to turn things around. And this morning, Lord, as a faith family, we commit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. I pray this morning, Father, that your Holy Spirit would come into each and every one of our hearts in a new and a fresh way, Father. May you work into us, Lord, a new work through the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, may your Holy Spirit come into us and start healing us of all these wrinkles that have developed over our lives because we've allowed selfishness or sinfulness or things that we've been holding back in our lives to shape us and form us into ways that we haven't realized until this morning. Father, my prayer is that you would move in us in a new way, that you would begin to radically transform each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see that it's going to take all of us getting on the same page in the power of your Holy Spirit for Maplewood to move into the future and to be the church that you're calling us to be. Lord, help us to see that you've got us in a period of waiting right now. We are waiting, Lord. We are waiting for some of us to get on board so that we can move forward. And Lord, maybe for some of us, that means reconciliation with others in the congregation, that maybe we've got this conflict in the background that's been brewing for years, where apologies need to be made and relationships need to be healed, fresh starts to be allowed through the grace of Jesus. Lord, maybe some of that's happening in our families that we need to express forgiveness. Lord, maybe there's sin that needs to be confessed. But whatever it is, Lord, may it happen, and may we come together unified as one in power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, in the days to come, as we are waiting for you, Lord, in the days to come, I just pray that you'd be preparing us and shaping us and forming us so that we are ready to meet the moment when that moment comes soon in the future. Lord, this is what we pray this morning, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray it. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.